Yeah, you got Jewish.
Start over. One time a guy went out with a horse, yeah?
And all at once, the horse stopped, see? Come on, we ain't out where we want to go yet, see? And he'd tap on the horse wouldn't go, see? So he walked ahead of the horse and all at once, boom, he went right down through it. There was a crack there and it's covered over. And that horse knew that.
Oh, yeah.
Now, how the hell they know that? I don't know.
Yeah.
He said, they said there was nothing on top of that snow, but just a quarter of ice, a little ice, and then snow on it, see? And probably an inch of ice, and bang, down he went. It's one of them.
You could drive your truck out there, you'd have had it.
I remember, well, Clarence Langenfeld, which is the one that lived in
Russell?
De Pere.
Claudie.
Claudie was telling that story one time. Oh God, that's way back when Bernard was on the farm yet.
Claudie Lund.
I used to pull his shandy out for him and take care of him.
Bernard Bergen was on the farm.
Yeah, and he was telling all at once somebody told him they were getting a lot of fish at Stockbridge. So him and Clarence, they hooked two shandies together and they were going up the lake, see. And he ran into a snowstorm, flurries and stuff, and they knew they were getting close to Stockbridge, so Claudie says, I got out, opened the door of the car. He said, I get out to look, and when both feet hit the ground, ice, bang, down I went. He started right next to an old sturgeon hole.
Oh, yeah.
Down went, he says, I hung out of the door and I got back out.
Is that right? There was an old sturgeon hole, and maybe didn't mark them in those
days. Probably didn't back then.
Back then they didn't mark them so like we do now. You know.
I remember one time a guy wanted to move to up to Eckers Road, see it. And he asked me, and I says, I haven't got time to do it. It was Fritz Bergen, Bernard's brother. And I says, I really haven't had time to do it. And so he went up there and he talked to Bill used to have the turkey farm.
Buyer.
Bill was living up there and plowing the road, see. Mm-hmm. So Bill come down, got the shandy. And I knew right where it was. I went by there about an hour or two later. And here he sat on them gallon milk jugs. Them plastic one, that's what he marked the hole in. I said something to Bill, I see him afterwards, a year or so later. I says, God damn it, that was a good marker you put by that hole. Why? Because I drove right in and I said,
who told me about you went set up some shandies off a pipe and the guy kept fishing there and then you went in and finally said, hey, it's about time you move, you know, and he only moved a short distance. What is that? Was that you? He only wanted to move a little ways.
Oh, no, that was...
Start right from the beginning with that. So.
That was Jerry Olick and his two buddies.
Yeah.
I don't know their names. They were from the West Shore, and they were getting fish right out here in the bay. See? So they come over, and one guy's his chainsaw went to hell the day before, so they wanted me to set him up, see? And I says, well, go find your spots. I says, I got to cut a hole, then I'll come over and look for you. Well, the shanties are about like from here to the road apart in there, and they're right in the middle of them, see? I said, fellas, you want a fish here? Yeah, we got a fish here. That's where they're getting the fish. Okay. So I cut the three shanties and I went to shore and I didn't even more than get in there. And here comes one guy to get me. We got to move that one shanty, he says. The fish are just out there. I can't quite throw the spear that far. That likely story too, you know.
Yeah.
So I went out there and I went in. I said, you want to move, huh? Yeah. Oops, he said, there goes another one. And by God, you could see the fish going, just like they had a load. So we talked it over, and they figure about 15, 20 feet. Well, let's try it. So I cut him another hole. We didn't have it banked yet, and he had a fish. Yeah. He got three fish that day, just like that.
Right out of that, they were in that spot.
On the runaway.
Yeah. Isn't that so? My God.
And one of the least boy, Bob, I tell him, was fishing not too far away. Bob was hooking onto his shandies. I says, how come you're hooking on? Shit, there ain't nothing here. Well, I said, these guys over here got two. I says, Gregor Hoffman and his wife got a 90-pounder on the other side here. Jesus, he was back in that shanty and he stayed there the rest of the season, you know. He was quite a guy, that Bob. You had to wonder about Big Harry, though, didn't you?
Harry
Steffes?
Yeah, he told me a story one time that you probably know it better than I do because you were probably there when he told it the first time about he speared this fish.
Yeah. And it was swimming away?
It was swimming on the road.
Yeah, on the road.
There was so much water on the road, on the lake, that he said the sturgeon was swimming towards, or somebody knocked on the door and said, the sturgeon's swimming away or whatever. Yeah, Harry Steffes story.
Yeah, he took the ball peen hammer, he said. I got him right between the eyes. That's the way I took him in to measure him. Away a minute, he says.
With the hammer in his head?
Yeah.
Yeah, the ball went in it through its skull.
Come on from Harry, anything.
And then the guy says, well, I can't weigh him with this hammer stuck in his head. And Harry said, well, it's a 10 or 5-pound ball peen hammer. Just take off 5 pounds. He says, typical Harry.
I went with him. We went up to Sturgeon Watch together, me and him, see?
Yeah. Sturgeon, yeah.
And yeah, he got in that shack up there, and he had them wardens just rolling on the floor. Tell him one story after the other, Steve.
I know. I wish so. He died, didn't he?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Him and his wife.
I wish so he was around. I mean, he had some.
You know, he could always pick out. He knew where he wanted to go, see. And right in shock, and there on the bend. So he tell that captain there, he said, well, we got to go there, he said, because my legs ain't very good. And I can't really walk around too good, you know. Well, that was right up here, there. He pull in there and stop, lean back in the seat. He might get out to take a leak, and that's about all he did in the 12 hours. But eat, Jesus, he could eat.
Oh, yeah, yeah. And wine, he liked.
Yeah.
I went in his shandy one time, and I think he fished with, one of the South Hills.
His brother?
They had the junkyard that they had in Fond du Lac. Don't you remember on Morris Street? Oh, who was it?
Oh, way down on Morris Street, yeah.
Oh, I know who you're talking about. The gal.
Well, yeah, the gal, yeah.
Oh, what the hell was their names again?
The Bond?
No.
Yeah.
They had the junkyard.
The
Sadoff.
No, not Sadoff's, but this.
No, Manus, the other one. The other one.
Manus.
Yeah, Manus.
And it was, what Manus was it then?
Jake
Manus. And Harry Steffes and Jake Manus, they were very good friends, you know. They would fish together. And one day I got a sturgeon, that's when I first built that Packer helmet thing. And I was outside, and then Harry heard us outside. So, and Jake and Harry were fishing together. So then Jake said, well, you can't fish anymore. Maybe I'll sit in your shanty. So Jake fished in my shanty, and Harry stayed in his shanty, of course. And the wine was always flowing between them two. They would drink wine out in that lake.
I mean, I know.
We got a bottle in the basement yet that he brought us.
I know.
Jesus. Yeah, she come out to get him one time early, looking for Harry. She come in the tavern down there, put a mink coat on, high heel shoes. This is at 9 o'clock in the morning. And Harry said, Harry was in the tavern then. No, he said, he went out a half an hour ago. So she drove out on the lake. I don't know if she ever found him or not. He didn't ask, just out she went.
You mean that lady with the blonde hair that always had that thing in the back and she would come out fishing by herself? Is that the lady you mean?
No, that wasn't her.
This was Jake Maness's wife. So.
Well, I thought that's what she was, Maness. It's on that boulevard.
That's right, that's where they live.
Then one year I was fishing up at Stockbridge, Fury Springs. I knew them guys up there, they were getting a few fish there. Of course, when you fish with that gang, when they decided to move, there was 8 or 10 shanties. You moved it. They said, pick up, we're moving, and if you don't pick up, we'll hook right on and pull you away. So anyway, the deal was the first fish that anybody got was for the party after the season. So he was taking that fish in the plow truck. He had a deal with that tavern up there just as you drove off Nimitz.
Nimitz Tavern.
Very strange. If the light comes on the front, my advertising light, the warden's here. So he stopped and he got the field glasses out and looked, sure as shit, here they were coming out the road. See. So he threw the sturgeon out in the snowbank on the ice, and he backed up and he plowed it in.
Oh, he had the snow plow, yeah.
Yeah. He never did find it.
Somebody else had
a 40-pound fish. But at least we didn't get a ticket for not having a tag on.
He plowed it into the side bank, you know. You remember, I've been looking for some pictures of Eddie Hoffman's snowplow. It was like the first plow I ever remember, you know. I think Joanne, his daughter, might.
She might have them.
Joanie, you know.
Well, if she doesn't, Betty Jodick would.
She's got pictures you wouldn't believe.
I've been there already. I haven't talked to Betty.
Oh, okay.
She has got everything.
Ain't that something? She gave a whole bunch to the Villa Loretta. Now she did stuff up there.
Yeah.
They opened a new place. I was over there a couple years ago.
I can still see Eddie out there putting chains on for guys in the morning, them old-timers.
Yeah, Hoffman's Garage and Pipe, and then Greg Hoffman and Louie worked for him.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. I don't remember when Greg worked there, but yeah. Louie was there.
Yeah, Greg worked there.
That's before he got to meet the mailman, I suppose.
Oh, yes. Oh, sure. Yeah. They were young boys. I mean, they're older than I am, but they were, you know, Greg is 10 years older than I am. I'm 75, so.
Yeah, I've been up there more than once when these old guys have come in. You ain't going fishing today. Yeah, we are if you put the jeans on.
Yeah.
He went through a lot of snow out there.
Oh.
Eddie with it.
Oh, with that wrecker, he always kept some stones on the back.
Yeah.
And the wrecker back there. And then that little plow. It only plowed the track for the wheels.
Yeah.
And then it had a V in the middle that was up about this high. So he didn't need to push that hard, you know. But you could see him coming down the road and the snow flying both directions, you know, and it really, I think Urban Schrage built that for him.
He did.
In Johnsburg, in the blacksmith shop.
Yep.
Well, that was.
You know that Urban, he was quite a guy, even up to the end.
Oh. Urban Schrage.
Yep.
He could build, you walk in there and tell him what you'd like. Whether it was an ice chisel or whatever it was, he could make it for you, you know.
I had a Cub Cadet lawnmower. And it was a screwy setup. It drove off the end of the motor to the hydraulic pump on the back seat. And it was all cast aluminum. And I broke one or two on there. See, Christ, they were $35 a piece. So Davy Snyder says, why don't you stop and look, have Urban look at that one, see? So I had it behind the trailer, on the trailer, so I pulled in there. He come out and he looked. Yeah, give me a couple of days, he says. He called me up one night, 8:30. And he says, can you bring that lawnmower up tomorrow? Yeah, I says, anytime. He says, I think I got it figured out. He got that piece and he put it in there. Tighten the bolts. He says, all you got to do is keep the bolts tight. He's run ever since.
Yeah.
And how he had a memory to know that, I don't know.
Yep. He was a good mechanic.
He was a mechanic, yeah.
Yeah.
I wonder if they ever did put up all his line shafts and stuff.
Yeah, I don't know. They were going to do that for that old blacksmith shop.
Yeah.
That building's still standing there, isn't it?
Yeah, but no, he was going to do it up in the... I don't know, was he going to get the building?
I don't know.
I don't think so.
I have no idea.
But I know antique guy.
Schneider.
Yeah.
Oh.
I heard he took all the line shafts and everything out of there.
Out of that blacksmith shop, yeah. Well, you'd go in there, when I was young, and you'd go in there, and then that whole line shaft thing was running up in the ceiling.
Yeah.
They were just rumbling in there all the time, belts flying. Oh, God, it's a wonder somebody didn't get their arms chopped off, you know.
You mean one of the last times I was in there? He gave me a little horseshoe about that big. Mm-hmm. He said, did I ever give you one of my horseshoes? And I said, no. And then at once, he said. He had those crowns around. And I ain't got too many left, he said. Got the cleats on the bottom. Holes drilled for the nails.
He made them himself.
He made it himself.
Yeah, he made the shoes. Yeah.
He could pound them out of there and they're nothing flat. And he must have shoed horses one time.
Oh, sure. All the blacksmiths did, you know. Yeah. All the blacksmith shops did. That's for sure.
Oh, that was good.
Fish in the snowmobile suit.
And a leg.
Yeah, I speared one right out in the bay here. I was working at the Compsies at the time, and it was a legal fish. Mm-hmm. And I said, his wife was out in the shanty with me. Bear was coming later. And I said, there's your fish, tag it. I don't want it. I says, I don't want it. So I said, I gotta go to work. So when Bear come out, he put it down in the snowmobile suit and walked in the house by Charmaine. Tell me about your dad.
What happened? That was 104 pounds.
That fish smell will get to you.
Yeah, it's the fish that does it. And this is you and
Donna and me.
You and Donna. Okay.
And Dad came driving in. Well, it's all the same pictures.
No, it's all right. I just want to. So I'm going to need one of these.
But this one, I don't really know. You know what that?
Yeah.
It's an. You know that picture's been around a long time.
Sure. Oh, there's something written on the bottom there.
Dad, Charmaine, and Donna.
Okay. Yeah. And this would have been...
Sturgeon caught in Lake Winnebago. It doesn't say the date, but that's it.
Write his name on the back. Here. It's red, but doesn't matter.
We were in the house, and Mom and... all of a sudden we hear the horn going. He had, what was that truck?
A little Model A.
Model A truck.
Mm-hmm.
a coop with a little box on the back, you know, all them farmers had them.
Like all of them were.
Yeah, okay. Anyhow, Keith comes barreling in the yard, he's blowing the horn, and we ran to the door, and we look, and he drives up, and he backs up, and he gets out, and he goes like this, he looks in, and he jumps back in the truck, and he takes off, and here he came around the corner so fast, the fish flew right out, and Carl Sass, and I don't know, Doc, I'm,
Doug,
all those guys that would have been in the bar saw it, so they were all standing there on the corner waiting for him and nearly his fish in the road. So that I thought was a pretty good story. He comes back and he had his fish, but the look on his face when he jumps out and he goes like that, and then he looked in the box and no fish. Oh my God.
Yeah, those boxes were only like 8 inches high.
Yeah, they weren't much.
They were never very big.
And he must have been so excited when he went around the corner. He just spun the wheels. They said they saw it fly out and they all ran out there waiting.
It would be nice to find a picture of a Model A truck, you know, because there's nothing went on the lake any more than that. Back in the
maybe
early
you
years.
Could find that in the computer.
Yeah, I might, because everyone had, they take the rumble seat out, and they'd make
put boards in there.
They put boards in there, and they build a box, you know.
No, if only this had been a couple of years, a year ago, he could have found out where he got it, how he did it, what he made with it.
Yeah.
When I first come in and worked for the state, that was back in 47, down here, all the way from the corner, down past the tavern that was parked on both sides of the little fish cars, you name them, you know. The guys would leave them there all winter.
Yeah, from pipe.
Yeah.
Yeah, they'd come down there with their good car.
Yeah, then take the beater out there.
And take the beater on the lake, yeah.
And now they drive these good big 40, 50
now you gotta have a $50,000 four-wheel drive.
Yeah, to go on the lake.
Yeah.
Well, I remember that one time before we were married, and you had to go out on the lake and bring somebody's shanties in, and I went out with you, and there was so much water out there, and my dad said, you don't go out there, and, well, I'll go with them. So we went out there, and what did you have? You had to go take spears out for somebody's shanty. There was so much water. What was that?
I don't remember anymore.
It was on a Sunday we went out there anyhow. Couldn't go out anymore, and you went out and you said you'd go get those spears, and we went out.
We were out there pike fishing one time on a weekend. There was a whole bunch of guys, Kohler, Wally, Larry, and myself, and we run out of beer about right after dinner, lunch, you know. So I said, I'll take that old fish car and I'll run in and get a case of beer. It was good going. You could drive 40, 50 miles an hour. You know, there was no hardly any snow. Got in, got the case of beer. Bullshitted with a couple of guys, maybe 10 minutes, and I went back. All at once here was a crack about this wide.
3 feet wide.
Well, there's nothing I could do but step on it.
Wow.
I only blew one tire, though.
Unreal.
And you see the way some of them guys drive out there?
Oh.
You know, more of it happens.
Oh, I know.
It's awful.
I remember when I was at home, and Ambrose Langenfeld was on the lake with the normal Langenfeld group, whoever. And Elsie Lotoff called my mom, and she said, tell Billy to take the ice boat out, because I had it parked down on where Gladstone Beach is at now, and go tell them guys to get off the lake, because the lake is opening up. So I went down, put the sail up on the boat, I sailed across the crack that was about 18 inches wide. I just had long runners, so the runners in the front were about almost 5 feet long. I sailed right across it, and I went out there, and I yelled at Ambrose. I found him way up here.
You never know where they'd be.
Oh, man. I found him anyway, and I said, you got to get off the lake because it's opening up. And so we went back. It was like drizzling, you know. It was rain, no snow. It was just glare ice, you know. I remember a Chevrolet or a Plymouth car. Remember those? They were like a Woody, it was called, a Plymouth, made of wood, paneling.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Somewhere in the 40s or something, they made them out of wood. And it was, he could not drive towards shore because the wind would blow that thing around. It would never, yeah. It would spin him right around because that back, he could have gone straight into the wind or with the wind, but he couldn't go. But anyway, we went home, we went in, we got down here on shore, out quite a ways, and the same guy you talked about was Bill Beyer. They heard about it, that the lake was opening. When we got there, that lake was open like 80 feet.
Ooh.
And there we are with all those cars and everything out there on the other side of that big wide crack. And Bill Beyer brought his aluminum boat down and some long ropes, and they took all these people, all of us, pulled us across. We didn't even row the boat. The guys on the east side pulled us, and then the west side pulled it back again. Hauled all of us off the lake, left all the cars on the lake that night. The next morning, I went down with Ambrose. The wind turned around to the west, see, to close that crack. And Ambrose said, well, as long as the crack's closed, let's go fishing. He went right back.
Right back to fishing.
Went right back out on the lake, went fishing again, you know. It was so, I mean, so unbelievable that, and they didn't have bridges like you got now. You know, you got good bridges to drag out there and put across. So.
You know, I heard Phil Evans can talk about the time it opened up down here, and they put two hay racks with the sides off, just the hay racks, pushed them out there. And the cars would drive on the one, jump on the other one, and off on shore.
Regular hay wagon. Just a rack, you mean, yeah.
Yeah, well, the running gear.
Yeah, sure.
And a flat rack, see?
Yeah, sure.
But they got, I don't know how many, Sue said that day, they worked 3-4 hours at it, you know.
Oh, yeah, just to get them off the lake.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah.
We stopped in the bar, we cut some shanties in, it was dark already. We come in. Here was Butch
Gillick.
No. St. Cloud, Butch. Oh shit, I can't say his last name. But it don't make any difference. He was in there, God, Bill, he said, I was looking for you. He says, I don't know if I dropped the front end in or what I did, he says, but I'm hanging out there on the lake. See? I says, can we find it? Yeah, I left the lights on, the parking lights on. He did the hell off the roads.
This was at night?
Yeah, at night. So I got 4 or 5 guys in there. I says, well, let's go out there. So we went out there, and here the ice had shoved up like this, and there was about, that much of a drop. Front end went over.
3 feet of drop, and then the front.
Yeah, there he was.
Yeah.
And it closed up again. It was solid there. I took the shovel and I said, well, all we can do is everybody get a hold of the front end and we'll lift her and you can back off. By God, it worked. he Rosenbaum. What's Rosenbaum?
Oh, yeah.
He still talks about it.
Yes, he still talks about it. Every time we see him, we hear that.
Butch Rosenbaum. My goodness. Yeah.
But you know, it works the best now. I got two pieces of that guardrail that they put up along the road.
Oh, yeah.
You know, it goes.
Yeah.
Okay. They're 12 foot long.
You carry them along.
You can do wonders with them.
Yeah. Yeah.
There was a guy out here, he drove right into the crack lake place with two wheels.
Oh, yeah.
A brand new truck, Jesus, he was nervous.
Yeah, the chunk breaks off, you know, you're going to go down a ways.
So I chilled enough ice so I could get one down underneath the wheel. And 3 guys stood out there and lifted the car right up. And we just pushed it over.
Wow, yeah.
Did the same thing with the front wheel.
Yeah.
Well, you're trying to yank them out, you ain't going to do it.
No way, it'll stay right in that crack.
Well, if that's that tough, I'll come the trailer.
What?
how come the truth, we wouldn't have had the accident if they're that tough. Shouldn't have bent it.
That'll work.
Oh.
Yeah.
Well, I can't think of anything out here. That's when I was working for Greg. All along the tree road, and here was Joel out there, jiggling, you know.
Langenfeld.
He waved me down.
Joel Langenfeld?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Go sit on that hole right there, he says. Well, I said, that's a used one. No, Jerry just pulled off it. Show him there's a fish there. So I pulled the shandy over and put it on there. He helped me bank it up a little bit. I went there, you couldn't see the worth of shit, you know, probably 6-8 feet. And all at once a dark streak went through and I wheeled a spear, see. Pulled it up and I had about a 15-20 pound carp. Good, Joe says, at least we got something out of that hole. I'll take that home, he said, give it to Derry when he comes home. Him and Louie had to go to the over to the island, everybody was getting fish over there.
Yeah.
And then one time Louie was fishing out in the bay here.
Louie being who?
Louie Kohler,
okay.
And he says, I need a helper, you know. Well, Danny and Jim Brown lived upstairs. We were in a farmhouse, and I said to Jimmy, you want to go fishing? Yeah, I bought him a tag. See. And he went down there with Louie, put him in the shanty with Louie. All at once, Louie said, look at here comes a fish. Oh, that's pretty. Oh, that's pretty. Why don't you spear it? Oh, that's pretty, he says. Finally, Louie grabbed a spear, and he speared the fish. Put it up on the floor and he said, Jimmy, now you tag it. I ain't tagging that thing. I didn't spear it. Louis says, I don't get mad very often, but he said, I was mad that day. I had my tag in it. He said, that was his last tag, you know. He said, if I had, I would have tagged it, but I wanted a fish, you know.
Sure. You could only spear 2-3 at that time.
Yeah,
I remember when you could get 5.
Yeah.
And then you go get the tags as you needed them.
Sure.
Yeah, one or two at a time, you know.
Yeah, I know.
And what were they to start with, a quarter?
A nickel. They were 5 cents a piece. That's when I started. 5 cents a piece, and you could get 5 fish. And I would say, don't even waste a quarter, he said. Go get 2 tags.
Yeah.
And you can always go by Howard Manderscheidt. In the tavern, and you get another tag if you get a fish, you know. So you get 2 fish, you'd stop there at night on the way home, get a couple more tags, and maybe you never spent whole quarter. So the times were not like they are now, you know.
Yeah.
And that one time when I first came up here, probably I came up here in 47. Mm-hmm. It was 47 or 48, don't make much difference, but Travelin' Berg was alive. He lived on the farm over here.
Sure.
And Junior worked for the DNR down there. So he said to me one day, and on Friday, he says, you want to go sturgeon fishing? What the hell is that? You know, I never heard about that shit. He says, Mom, Dad got to go to a wedding anniversary on Sunday, so the shanties will be empty, you know. You can fish one, I'll fish the other. Okay. That was the most boring goddamn day I ever spent in my life. Shandy, you know.
Yeah.
So, I think I seen one walleye.
Well, you're about 18.
So the next day, we come off the lake from lifting nets, and his dad and his mother's truck was parked by the Jurgensmeyer's down there in the park. Oh, he said, I bet they got a fish. So we had to stop. And his mother speared 2 of them within 15 minutes. And I said, sure. To the day before, didn't see shit.
Yeah, yeah.
But that's fishing.
That's the way it was.
Yeah.
That's the way it worked. Well, I was with Ambrose one time, Ambrose Langenfeld. I fished with him from when I was 8 years old, 1939. and I would go with him all the time. Weekends, he'd come out from Milwaukee, I'd go with him fishing. And till I was 14, then he gave me his shandy and all his equipment, and then he made all new shandy and all new spears, and I still got the spear right now. So anyway, we went out there with his shandy one day, and a hitch broke, driving off a pipe. Hitch busted on it. He says, cut the hole right here. He says, this is the spot. Something's trying to tell me. And we got two strips. Yeah. We got two fish.
There was an old guy from Brothertown. I was fishing down there. And I was cutting the holes, and I was working at the Comstie, and he was in with into the tavern on the corner when I stopped in from fishing, you know. And he says, I'm going to pull my shandy out this afternoon. He says, and wherever it's parked, cut me a hole. Okay. So the next morning I went out there, and here he is, right on the tree road, right between the Christmas trees. That's where the shandy was. Cut him a hole. 2 days later, he had to come out and tell me, yeah, I got him, 75 pounds. He says, I got them when they're crossing the road. He says, they're moving fast. He was one of them old timers, like old Dick Straby.
Yeah.
Remember him?
I remember.
He had a round shanty.
Yeah. Yeah. Oh, yeah. Yeah. A couple of them on the lake. Jim Brown, Hubby Gilgenbach had one. They were round shanties. Yeah.
How did they make them?
They were like, you know, when you go past these farmers that have the
old stave silos.
Well, and they have this thing that they blow feed up in. It's like a big funnel. It's tapered down on the bottom. Well, they take that and they'd stand it upside down and put a floor in, and they actually cut a half round hole inside. Oh. And Sam Emery had one, and he had a, he didn't have a rope on his spear at all. He had a hole. He had a wooden handle and a hole in the roof with a flap over, and the pole stuck way through in one tine on the harpoon. One big tine. And he'd just sit there with that, and he'd put that down there and just give it a good shove.
Are you happy?
Yep. Yep. One hook, and it was quite big. I remember seeing it in his barn, and I always told Gene, his kid, you know, I said, Gene, what are you ever going to do with that? It was hanging along, you know how the barns had a beam along there? Well, it was hanging, laying on two nails up on that beam. I said, what are you ever going to do with that thing? Well, that's Pa's old spear. Well, then a barn burned down.
Oh.
And the whole thing is gone. Even if I could have found the head of it, you know, it would have been nice. But it was all gone.
Kid Shane was another one from Stockbridge. He had one of them.
He had,
the harpoons, he called it.
Yeah.
He's got damn guys with four or five tines on their spear, you know. He used to give him shit all the time about that.
Yeah. One tine. Yeah, a lot of fish were speared that way, you know.
I speared one up to Stockbridge one time. That's when they were really scarce. Bad water, you know.
Yeah.
I took it in. Register it. We're along.
I don't remember. Go on.
And come home and the phone rang. You don't want to get rid of that fish, do you? Jesus, I don't know why. I got a couple of buyers. I said, I don't know. I'd have to talk to you besides this phone. So anyway, I took the fish up there, took the tag, got $40, went and bought a quarter of beef.
Too bad.
I never was that crazy for sturgeon meat, actually.
Yeah.
I eat it, but I'm not the...
Yeah, I know. Depends on how... How do you... They're always looking for some recipes. You got any special way you make it at all in particular? Do you remember what your...
John cleans it, and that's perfect, and cut it in strips and dip it in egg and roll it in Cracker Crumb.
Yeah, he does all the frying too.
He does. Yeah. Yeah.
He does the best. I mean, well, I guess that's how my mom did it.
Yeah.
And he did, you know.
You learned that from Elvira.
Yeah.
Oh, from Elvira. Well, because my mom did it that way. Once we tried it with milk. Some people swear by baking it in milk. Yeah. Oh, we didn't like that at all. Yeah. That was, I mean, a lot of people like it, you know, but we didn't.
Yeah.
Because we always get together, well, at John's house, usually it is, all the guys in the group, and then everybody brings some of their fish and cook it all up.
Have
and then,
a feed,
so we thought, we're going to try some with milk just for the heck of it. Well, nobody liked it.
Yeah.
How do you make it? You
make it
with milk?
Well, no, we not really.
Yeah.
We, well, Hazel Blank always told me that if sometimes sturgeon has a stronger taste to it, you know. But if you, she would put it in milk overnight and just leave it in the refrigerator.
Yeah.
And then the next day she would just dry it off and then do her normal.
Well, I do milk and egg, you know, mix that together and roll it in that.
That's only to keep the cracker crumbs sticking to it.
Yeah.
So. Yeah.
I don't know who it was, just in the last couple of years told me again that that's how they make it. They bake it in the oven and
Ma would, my ma would put it in a frying pan and same way, but brown it real good. Then she put it in the oven and just let it slowly, you know, just slowly bake. And that's,
Well, you can't overdo it,
getting
too.
That fat
if you overdo it, it's tough. I mean, it's,
You know, I was talking to a guy yesterday that he heard of guys that got four walleyes down here on the lake so far. And they're so goddamn fat they can hardly swim.
There's a lot of food, I guess.
So you can imagine it's going to be one hell of a year for them to bite. You know?
Yeah, and sturgeon, of course, now. April, whatever. It's April 11th today.
May.
Yes, it's May 11th. And, of course, the sturgeon spawned how many weeks ago? And the little ones have hatched, even that spawned in the river. They put drift nets out now. They put drift nets in the river, and they're catching the little ones at night. Then they come up and they move. And they're only an inch long, but they got all their parts now.
Really?
See, when a sturgeon first hatches, it has a yolk. The egg yolk is under its belly.
Yeah.
And it doesn't have eyes. It doesn't have a mouth. It doesn't have anything. It just lays there a little, like a little larva, you know. But by the time it digests that egg yolk, it gets gills. It gets all its fins. Tail, everything, the mouth, everything, and now they're, and then they start drifting. See, then they, at night they come out, and then they'll drift down the river to wherever they go. And then the sturgeon that hatched in the fish hatchery, and I gotta believe that's Wild Rose or wherever, they are all. They're all swimming now. They're all developed totally already. They're in nice shape. So by August or September, they'll be like 3-4 inches long.
We went to a fish hatchery in Tyler, Texas.
Yeah.
That was pretty neat.
There was a bass hatchery.
Yeah.
Bass hatchery.
Oh,
but they had this huge, huge aquarium. And we went there. We went back on a Thursday because they would have a diver going in there. You know, and feeding them, and they had all these different kinds of fish. They didn't have any sturgeon. We asked about those, but you know what they fed them? Koi. And I said, you got to be kidding. You feed the fish koi? We've got our little pond.
Yeah.
When we first started it, you'd pay $8 or $9 for a fish.
Yeah.
And they feed them. You know what?
They grind them up.
They fed them. And they said everybody remarks about that. You know, and says you feed the koi. You know.
Well, they used to feed carp when I was with them. We put them in big holding ponds, feed them shell corn.
Over on the west side. You mean where the big cribs were at?
Yeah.
And the DNR station?
Yeah, that big holding pond.
Yeah.
I was down in Madison that time, and you go out there Well, there'd probably be a couple hundred thousand pounds of fish in there. Milk cans full of shell corn. You had a little motor on the back of the boat, you start it up, you go down, you just dump it out, that run, you know. Them goddamn fish are just like nuts for that.
And they just eat it up, yeah.
It sucked it right up.
Sure, yeah.
Yeah. Yeah, yeah. You had that on all the Earl Eckers outfit he used to take cars out with.
Yeah.
That old square thing, you remember?
Yes. Yeah. He had, that was the hoist to raise him up.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Now that other way is so simple. With them airbags.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, now to go down airbag and pump it up, float it up. They get to, and the nice part with that is you get one that goes in deep water. I mean, deep water, not Lake Winnebago's. 22 feet, you know. They can go down and bring up almost anything with airbags.
Oh, yeah, and, yeah.
I mean, it's just a good way of, it's a good way of doing it. I wish we had a picture of the airbag system, you know.
I've seen some pictures of them taking cars off, but we don't have them here.
Yeah, no, I know.
Did you know they were going to raise, or they were raising sturgeon down at Cedarburg, somewhere down there?
Well, they're raising sturgeon down at Milwaukee, Great Lakes Center.
Yeah, I know that, but no, this was out, God damn, it was in the paper. Our daughter brought us, and I threw it away.
Yeah.
How old would that truck be? It goes 1948 Ford AB.
No.
Be older than that.
Be older than that. It's Model A Ford. Frank Gressel.
Yeah, he used to rent out a few shanties when the boys were plowing the snow.
Yeah.
On halves.
Oh, he could half the fish.
So a guy came in one time, he said he had about a 75, 80 pounder. He went in and he told Frank, I got a big fish. Well, bring it in, he says. You want it in here? Yeah, but you gotta have it. He started the bandsaw up and sawed it from the tip of the nose right down to the back. Here's. That's a God's honest truth.
You got half.
You got half, see?
Half a head and half every.
Yeah, I don't think there's many guys that got any more fish than the Gressel boys. And now they can't get them.
I know. Kenny's or Danny's not getting them. His daughter got a nice big one last year, but he does.
Well, he don't want to listen.
Yeah.
My theory is them 4x8 holes ain't the answer.
No. You don't need all that. And spending all your time up on the ice cutting holes ain't the answer either. You got to sit in the shanty and fish. You know?
Well, when they fish hard.
Oh, I know that. Yeah.
But
yeah.
I've told them that. And old Phil Stefani, he's dead now. When I used to cut his holes, he wanted to see ice all the way around in the shanty.
Is that right? Yeah.
And just as straight as you can cut it, so you can still sink it. Mm-hmm. And he never failed to get a fish. He says, when I see that fish, he's mine. I don't care about that one out there, he says.
Yeah.
Which makes sense.
Oh, yeah. Sure.
But I told Danny that a couple of times, and he just don't say that.
Yeah. Well, listen, my friend, I'm going to head home.
Okay.